Blog Talk Radio.
You got to believe and you got to know and understand that you are so blessed. Despite your situation, despite your circumstances, you are blessed. We greet you with the joy and the happiness of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. It is I, your host, Willie J. Van Jr., bringing you greetings from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the Northeast Corridor, to be a little specific. And we are Reconciliation Ministries. We thank God for you. We praise God for being able to partner with the Omega Ministry Group for another wonderful Wednesday night of Blog Talk Radio. I just want to say to each and every one of you all, we are so appreciative for you joining us here this Wednesday night. I know that there are a million other things that you could do, but we appreciate you. Without further ado, we understand the power of prayer. We understand that prayer is one of our best and our most lethal weapons that God has given to us. So without further ado, let us go into a word of prayer. Won't you come on and join me in the spirit? Father, we thank you. Daddy, we are so appreciative. We thank you. We know that even just being able to breathe in and out is a blessing. We thank you, Lord God, for breathing into us this morning. And then we was able to wake up and exhale and with praise on our lips, with you on our minds. And we thank you, Lord God, for how you've taken care of us, how you watched over us, how you blessed us. Lord God, we thank you for another Wednesday night of Blog Talk Radio. We are so appreciative for who you are. We thank you for tonight's message. We thank you, Lord God, that you have blessed us, that we will be able to come and learn more about who you are and what you mean to us. Lord God, we need you more than ever. Lord God, we know that in these times today, though we can't celebrate or get too happy on one day without later on being saddened by tragedy, Lord God, we yet still trust in you. We still yet believe in you. And we know that without a shadow of a doubt, if you had not been on our side, we don't know where we stand. We don't know where we would be. Lord God, we are so appreciative for you again. Man, we ask that these words that I will share, these thoughts I will share, where they will come directly from you. Lord God, I know that I'm nothing more than your conduit. Lord God, you are the power source. You are the source of wisdom and understanding. So, Lord God, use me to speak your words. And now I pray that those who are listening, either live or to rebroadcast, that they'll be able to learn and be able to be challenged, but that they'll be better with you and have a better relationship with you. Lord God, we thank you. We give you honor. We give you praise. In the name of your Son, who is our Savior, his name is Jesus the Christ, we say amen, amen, and amen. Again, we are so grateful that you have decided to join us here for another wonderful night of Blog Talk Radio. Let me just say that this is about participatory. If you have a comment, if you have a question, you can press 1 on your phone, and then we will be able to unmute your mic. You don't have to worry right now. All the mics are muted. And only I have the power to unmute your mic. So you can go ahead and do what you're doing, but please be attentive. We ask that for those who are listening live, again, you can press 1. For those who are listening to the rebroadcast, if you want to contact me, you can contact me at jvan91@yahoo.com. Again, J-A-Y, V as in victory, ANN91@yahoo.com, and I will definitely respond to your emails, to your questions, comments, and criticism. Well, we today has been a busy day, and we praise God. We thank God for all that has been transpiring. I would be remiss if I did not share some of my thoughts, and we will even discuss that tonight. But in the George Floyd murder case, we know that justice or somewhat justice, because you can never have really true justice when a life is taken away. But the gentleman who murdered him has been convicted on three accounts, and we pray that God will have mercy on his soul, and that he will get to a place that he will be remorse about what he's done. And then we are praying for the incident with Dante Wright in the same state of Minneapolis. And then we are now praying for and praying that she will rest with you, Lord God, Makaya Bryant, who was tragically shot by a police officer. So we understand that though we have one small victory, it's never time for us to over-celebrate. And you really can't celebrate too much when you have a loss. I mean, when you have a life that has been taken. So without further ado, we are going to read tonight's scripture reference. If you spend any time in church, you know this, but it's Luke 17, starting at verse 1. Luke 17, starting at verse 1, and we'll be reading we'll be reading 1-5. No, 1-4. Okay. again, Luke 17, starting at verse 1. I'll be reading the NIV translation, and then I might also read the New Century Version, but here's the word of the Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. But woe to anyone through whom they come." Excuse me. Verse 2. "It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day, and seven times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." Verse 5 goes into a whole another different lesson plan. So we're just going to read verses 1-4. Let me read the New Century Version. Very similar, but there are a couple things that are a little different. Starting again, Luke 17, starting at verse 1, it says, "Jesus said to his followers, 'Things that cause people to sin will happen, but how terrible for the person who causes them to happen. It would be better for you to be thrown into the sea with a large stone around your neck than to cause one of these little ones to sin. So be careful. If another follower's sin, warn them. And if he is sorry and stops sinning, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in one day and says that he is sorry each time, forgive them. And the reading of God's blessed word. We are so happy again for how God is giving us the words of his son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So as a subject, as a title, forgiveness, or sin and forgiveness. Let's do that. Sin and forgiveness. Here we have Jesus who is speaking to his followers. More than just those who are those people who are around him, but he's really speaking to those who are, we will call his disciples. He's talking to them and he is sharing with them this lesson about sin and forgiveness. Now, we understand that even in these trying times and even today, the Floyd family has issued and said that they forgive this gentleman, this man who murdered their brother, their friend, their father. But because of the love of God in them, they have forgiven them. They've had forgiven him and the other officers. One of the things that was amazing to me, that even during several years ago, and I just saw this today, that even in the Rodney King beating, where he was hit by several different officers and beat over hit over 50 times, where they cracked his skull over 13 times, and after all of that, after seeing that the police were wrong, and we've seen the video, and that's happened 30 years ago. And I was amazed when they mentioned that today, that incident happened 30 years ago. Rodney King himself said, "Can't we just all get along?" That's his way of saying, you know what, I forgive these police officers. Now, I hear you. I feel you. I feel you right now in my spirit saying, "Jay, ain't no way am I going to be able to forgive people who have wronged me." Now, I'm going to tell you to be totally honest, in all transparency, there's been times that I've struggled with that myself. See, I'm not going to get on here and share with you and not be honest and truthful. But there's always been a time after I've had my little pity party, after I've had my little arguments and discussion with God. God always reminds me, "I've forgiven you. Yeah, you haven't gone out and murdered anybody. Yeah, you haven't gone out and killed anybody, or you haven't done this, or you haven't done that. But you have committed sin. And for that sin, I allow my son to die on the cross and be raised again for those sins to make you right with me. So if I can forgive you, why can't you forgive them?" And this scripture references in Luke, where Jesus is teaching this lesson, is a really great lesson for us to look at. It first starts off, and again, it says that Jesus is talking to his followers. And we can, again, always understand that when he is, when the Bible talks about his followers, we're talking about people who have walked with Jesus, not just crowd standby-bys or just people that kind of come through just to see, but people who really sat at the feet of Jesus. We would even say those who were his disciples. And Luke says, let me go back to the news, the NIV translation. It says, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. So we understand that Jesus is saying, everybody going to stumble. Everybody going to have problems. Everybody's going to be in a place where they commit sin. But it's a whole nother thing to cause somebody to sin. See, it's one thing to go ahead and do something wrong yourself, but when you start involving other people, that's a whole nother level of wrongdoing, because we understand sin is sin. But Jesus is saying to these disciples that it's better we gonna all, I mean, all people are gonna have issues. We would say bags, we would say hang ups, but what he's really is talking about is sin. And then it says, it would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Now, I will admit that I have preached this message, or not this message, but I have preached this text before. And I've heard many other people preach this text before. And we usually attribute the little ones, or the reference to little ones, as meaning children. And but let's dig a little deeper tonight. We can infer that if you are a disciple, or these people who were disciples of Jesus, that they were older, but yet they were mature. There is a level of maturity that everyone should have the more that you walk with someone in their teachings, in their ways. So the more you walk, the more mature you are. But it says here, Jesus is saying, it's better for you to not have to commit suicide than to mess up or cause one of these little ones to sin. Now, instead of looking at this and saying little ones as far as children, let's really look and dig a little deeper where it is really referring to those who are immature in God. See, that has a whole different viewpoint. When you can look at it and say, okay, it's not just children, but it is those adults who are immature, who have not come to the level of maturity where we are. It is our responsibility to make sure that we don't cause others to stumble, cause others to fall, cause others to come into sin. And it puts a lot more onus and responsibility on those who are mature. Because if you are mature, you ought to be able to handle that level of responsibility. So the next time you want to do something a little crazy and you know it's wrong, and yet you're going to involve somebody else, why don't you look and see, first of all, what is your level of maturity in God? And then the person who you're with, what is their level of maturity? See, that puts a whole different spin, because then that puts the responsibility on us to say that we are now responsible for making sure that those who are immature become mature. And you can't make someone become mature in God if you are not, one, yourself mature, and then, two, willing to teach and share and not cause the other who is immature to not. So it's easy for us to look at this and learn from this and to look at our own lives and say, okay, now I know this ain't right, but I want it so and so. You know, they say, you know, the old worldly saying, you know, birds of a feather flock together. Or maybe it's that other saying, you know, misery loves company. You need to be mature. I need to be mature. We all need to be mature in God. To one, first, not commit the sin. But if we do commit the sin, to at least not involve someone else who is immature. Because you don't know what they can handle and what they can't handle. So you go around and you start drinking or partying or lying or sleeping around, and then you get somebody else that's immature, and they say, well, Bishop so-and-so did this, Pastor so-and-so, or whatever your title is, deacon, evangelist, or just being a seasoned saint. If they can do it, surely I can do it. But we don't realize that God has given us a level of grace that he might not have given someone else. And the level of grace that he's given in our lives, we're able to handle that. But it might destroy somebody else that's immature and don't have that same level of grace. So I know the next time you think about going out there, sinning, doing your own thing, party hardy, the next time you just find yourself going out there, oh, and let me add this, because that in the beginning part of verse 3, it says, so watch yourselves. See, Jesus himself is even giving warning. We need to watch ourselves to make sure that, one, we don't fall into sin, and two, that we don't take someone else into sin with us. I know you want to involve everybody else. But everybody else can't handle what you can handle. And I'm bold enough to even make this statement. What God has graced me to handle would drive somebody else entirely crazy. But I'm also understanding that whatever I have, whatever somebody else has gone through, I might not be able to handle it. So it's vitally important that, one, we don't fall into sin. Two, if we do find ourselves in sin, that we don't take somebody else with us. So what we're going to do, because this is a great moment, this is a great time to take a pause. We're going to pause. I want you to get some water, get some juice, and we'll be right back.
Many times in life, we focus on all that we don't have, and it makes us worry. But today, I want to remind you of the one that you do have and let you know that he's still able.
I've been hurt and abused, even lied to by the ones I trust in most. I've had some nights I cried more than I prayed.
Perspective, and so
now the worry is over,
yes,
and the doubt is gone away. God reminded me,
he reminded me
that he's still able. God reminded me
that in spite of it all,
that he's still able.
Thank you, Lord. Question.
I'm afraid to carry this hurt all alone.
Today more than ever,
I need your help, Lord. With you I can move on. Now the worry is over and the doubt is gone away.
You're not alone.
In the hospital,
able,
in the courthouse,
able,
even in your whispering, God, remind me. I can make it because
God reminded me
that he's still able.
Amen, my brothers and sisters. That's right. You got to know that God is able. Because God is able, because he is all powerful, he has given us that same authority and power through the Holy Spirit. So we thank God. So here we are. We're right in the middle of this great scripture at Luke 17. We just talked about verses 1 through 3. And let's kind of follow up and go and finish up 3 and 4 or 5 or 3 4. I keep on saying 5. Let's look at 5 afterwards. Maybe God is saying he wanted me to say something about that. But in verse 3 it says, so watch yourselves. Again, we're reading the NIV translation. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. So here we go. We have Jesus who is now continuing on this lesson plan. He just got finished saying and telling those disciples and those who are mature in his teachings that all of us, all of you will fall, will have stumble, but it's all right. I'm going to take care of that. But it's one thing for you to sin unwillingly or willingly, but it's a whole different thing to sin and have someone that is immature and involve them into your stumble or into your fall. And he said it's better for you to go and commit suicide than it is for you to involve someone who is immature. And then he says, be careful, watch yourself. And here we go, and here we are. We saying if your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. Now this is a good part, and I want to stop right here. He's not just saying, and he's saying rebuke them. Now, we have to understand that this rebuke is not a rebuke that is out of superiority or a rebuke from a position where you sit high and you looking low, but that in reality, this is a rebuke from a place of humility and love. Now, it could be tough love without a shadow of a doubt. It ought to be. And I know there's people who have tough love me, and there's people that I have tough love. And they say, man, why are you so hard on me? Why are you speaking to me like that? I'm only talking to you like this because I love you. And I want better for you. And I want you to be better. Because I've had people talk to me that same way. So when Jesus is saying here that we are to rebuke them, it is our right. It is our responsibility to share tough love. And then he goes into this whole thing, if they repent, forgive them. I have had a lot of people talk to me and ask me, man, how can you forgive so-and-so? How can you, it don't make any sense. I'm not going to forgive them. They did this to me. They did this to my family. And Jesus is saying here that it is my responsibility to forgive them because they have repented. See, that's the thing about it. They have repented. Now, we understand the word repent means to turn away. So, yes, they turned away. They come back and ask for forgiveness, and now they are saying that they have turned away. And then he goes into this whole thing of if they come to you seven times, ask for forgiveness, and they repent, you ought to forgive them seven times. Now, don't get caught up because some people will try to be legalistic and ritualistic and say, well, you got seven times to cross me, but that eighth time, I'm going to lay hands on you, and not in a biblical way. No, it's really a unlimited amount of time. Because again, how many times has God forgiven you? And I ain't going to lie. I can be honest, and I don't know why I'm being transparent, but you all know that that's how God uses me sometimes. There's been times that I praise and I laid in the bed when I didn't even know who God was. I knew about him, but I didn't have a relationship with him like I have now. But I laid in the bed and said, God, please, please, if you make this room stop spinning, I promise you I'm going to stop drinking that liquor. I'm telling you, I'm going to stop drinking. And then I find myself the next week, I'm back at the party doing the prep and doing the old school dance and doing the WAP. And then I find myself drinking that 151 Bacardi again. But see, what I realize is even then I was coming to God and asking God, and I had the common sense to come to the one who could really forgive me. And I repented. I really meant it. I asked him, really, God, please, I'm gonna stop. But just as he said in the beginning in verse 1, we will stumble. We will bump our heads. Now, this doesn't give us a right just to do whatever we want to do. But it lets us know that God can continue to forgive us because he loves us and wants the best for us. And so it is our responsibility for our brothers and our sisters who are mature and immature to forgive them of their sins, to one, not cause them to sin, two, to forgive them of their sins, and to three, love them, rebuke them, encourage them, tell them that they can be better, that God has better for them in their lives. So many of us, we just come and say, oh man, we done. We through with you. Again, there was a song by Hezekiah Walker that was sung by his then wife, Monique Walker. And she used to sing, I want another chance, or God forgive me and give me one more time or something like that. One more chance. And I used to say, I don't need one more chance. I just need another chance. I'm going to get it right. And what I kind of realized that in my life, I will never reach perfection until I'm at home with him. I won't cross every T and won't dot every I. Doesn't mean that I ought not strive and try to, but it does mean that if I don't, Jesus died on the cross and wiped away all my past sins, all my present sins, and all my sins to come. I'm already safe and secure in God because I've confessed and made him my God and made Jesus my Lord and Savior and walk in the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. Too many of us don't walk in that power. And let me just say this. Too many of us, we can forgive everybody else, but it's so hard to forgive ourselves. Let me just tell you, that is a lie straight from the pits of hell. And every time you think you're going, you do something wrong, Satan is there to tell you. See, you God don't love you. God can't do nothing for you. Look at you. You at it again. What you need to say is, yeah, I did it again. But you know what also happened? God has forgiven me yet again. My brothers and my sisters, I want to leave you this question as I always do. If someone has wronged you lately and repented, how did you react? And how could God help you forgive in these type of situations? I'm telling you, unforgiveness is a cancer. It is a sickness. It is a disease. And it will eat you up from the inside. But if you learn to forgive, God will heal you and set you free. And I don't know about you, but there's been times that I've forgiven people. And because I've forgiven them, I feel so much better. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, for the power of forgiveness. We thank you, Lord God, for who you are in our lives. We thank you for you have blessed us. And we thank you for this lesson in Luke 17, how you have instructed us that, yes, we will have those times, those moments, but you still forgive us. And we ought to not continue to walk in sin. And you forgive us of our sins. And then we, just as our brothers and our sisters and those who are mature, we must come to a place of repentance and then ask for forgiveness. We thank you, Lord God, for always forgiving us. And we pray, Lord God, when we get to be with you and in your presence, we will then say we are perfect and made whole. We thank you, Lord God. We give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I have about 5 or 8 minutes. If you want to have a comment, a question, we thank God for all those who are listening live. Again, for all those who are listening to the rebroadcast, you can always send me an email at jvan91@yahoo.com. If you're listening live, if you want to make a comment, press 1 on your phone. I got 2 different people. I'm going to quickly go. The first person, I'm going to unmute your mic. The last 4 numbers are 9934. Your mic is unmuted.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good evening. Good evening, my brother, Reverend Willie J. Van from the DMV. Good to hear you,
bro.
Good to hear your voice tonight. What's up, man? All is well. We praise God. Thank God for you and for your ministry gifts and for you yielding to the Holy Spirit to use you to talk about this subject that needs to be addressed. It needs to be addressed even the more inside and outside of the four walls of the church, because there are so many people that are walking the earth as we are speaking tonight that are physically free of all different races and kindred and all of that, who are physically free, but they are locked up in their minds and in their spirits because of the fact that they have not forgiven a person for what they did to them or what they said to them. And what's interesting about this whole spirit of forgiveness is that, you know, it sneaks up on a person and then it wears itself on a person that it can wear on you for many, many years too as well. And I know that when God confronted me with regards to forgiving people for what they did or what they said to me, that I came up with a whole lot of excuses of why I didn't want to forgive them or why I should not forgive them. But when I did, it was just like weight being lifted off of me and lifted off of my spirit. So I just encourage anyone who's listening on tonight and will listen to the rebroadcast, if you're holding something in your heart or mind or spirit against a person, to please my brother, please my sister, with the love of God, please forgive them because of the fact that it will make you feel so much better on the inside and outside, and it will free you to be able to do all the things that God has called for you to do too as well. But excellent broadcast, man. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. We praise God for you, Dr. Hill, man. We are so grateful and so thankful. Waiting for you to come back to the line, man, to the broadcast line. But we thank God for you. We have another caller. The last four numbers are 1261. Your mic is unmuted.
Amen. Good evening, Reverend Brand. God bless you. Just want to say,
hey, man,
again.
I thought this is my older brother, y'all. This one of the ones that used to get tough love, Dr. Charles. Charles Wynn.
Yes, we appreciate you. But great class once again, man. I thank God for you. And that forgiveness is one of the things that you're right. We all need to take it, you know, check it. There's some things that I can also say myself, it's hard to get to the point whereby you really want to forgive someone, but it's likened to Christ is like that forgive them for though they not which they do. So that really kind of holds me bound to that. And at one point, I tell you, you're talking about being transparent. It's like I asked God one time, God, why can't I just beat this person down? I'm well able. I'm capable of doing it. You know what I mean? And I just wanted to do this because in my flesh, I wanted to do it. Okay. But the spirit kept holding me back. I said, God, why can't I just this one time wring this person's neck? Okay. But at the same time, and this is being who I am, and you know, and but the scriptures to me always keeps me bound, so I can't do it. I want to do it, but I can't do it. You know, that's being transparent, man. You know,
amen.
So there's some things that happen. You know, people try to do things against you, kids, and your family. You really want to do it. People, oh man, if I was you, I'd do this. Yeah, well, okay, if you're not me, you know what I mean. So I think that you did a great job. Teaching, expounding on forgiveness, you know, like I said, Jesus said, look, it's better for you to be put a milestone on your neck and throw yourself in the water to harm one of the little ones, and forgive your neighbors, you know, 70 times seven. And it's a hard saying, but it's a true saying, you know, that, yes, yeah. Matter of fact, also forgiveness, but this is, I'm going to let you go. Forgiveness also, if you don't forgive someone, what happens is that you become internally and spiritually sick if you don't forgive, okay? That's the key that made me. You have to keep that in mind, man. But listen, God bless you. We love you. And the great lesson once again.
Amen. We thank God for this is my older brother in the ministry, man. We served together many years at the Evangelical Missionary Baptist Church, Reverend Dr. Charles Williams, who's now the pastor of him and his wife, Cynthia Williams. the pastor of Spirit of Excellence. We have one more. I'm going to ask you to please keep it brief. The last four numbers are 6285. Your mic is unmuted.
Indeed, I will keep it brief. Greetings to you, Reverend Van, and I thank you. I thank you for this message on today. But like all things in Christ, it's a process. And the process being first, admitting the reason for your unforgiveness. And if you even have the opportunity to speak to that person and explain to them what's really going on. Because most times you're holding and harboring unforgiveness against someone and they have no clue. So you're the only one hurting. So it's even a seed. It's a seed that grows and it festers and it manifests in everything that you produce. So it's very important to forgive.
Amen. Kept it short. All right. All right. We'll see. No, we thank God for you. We thank God for Sister Crystal. We are so appreciative for her and what God is doing in her life and how God has blessed her just to be transparent and to be obedient. We understand that, like she said, it is difficult. It's not easy. You know, it's not easy forgiving, but it is a process. But I will tell you, it is a process that will do you good. My time is short. I got 2 minutes. I'm going to tell you, hang up and then call right back in to my beloved brother Jason Felix out of the Detroit area. Mighty man. Okay, I know. Mighty man of God. As always, peace and love. Willie J. Van Jr. We'll see you and talk to you soon. Remember, forgive. And don't forget to forgive yourself, too.